What a privilege this evening to gather in this manner in His presence. This is the greatest delight of our heart to see the body of Christ gathering in this fashion in love, peace and harmony. And the warm welcome, thank you so much. I bring greetings from USA, the Mandalay. How many of you understand Hindi? Some of you, very good. And especially the way in which Lord has arranged everything for us in Sydney, which is fascinating. And as the brother, I think, picked this song, 280. I don't know how he knew what I'm going to share, but the Lord put in the heart this song. Brother asked me to share my testimony, but this song is like confirmation. You know, now I know the will for sure, I must share my testimony. Otherwise, most of the time, until the last moment, we wait on the Lord, and according to His will and His purpose, He will deposit or put the burden in our heart, and then we share. But this beautiful song is my song. There came a day in my life, and I cannot forget that day as it is written here. That was 21st of June, 1989, in Brooklyn, New York. I got saved by His amazing grace. I have already given you the punchline, the date and everything, but for His glory, honor and praise, I will give my testimony, share my testimony rather. But before that, shall we look to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Lord, we give Thee thanks and praise, worship and adoration for this precious time Thou hast given unto us to be in Your presence and rejoice in You, Lord, and who You are unto us. And think about all things You have accomplished so far in each and every one of our lives and our family's life, Lord. And we want to give Thee thanks and praise for Your faithfulness, for Your goodness. You are indeed our gracious and kind and compassionate and merciful Lord. You have given us rich promises, and You are promise-giving God and promise-keeping God. You are not a man that You may lie. You have indeed fulfilled all that You have revealed unto us, all that You have deposited in our hearts, Lord, because You are the one who both put in our heart to will and to do Your good pleasure. So with much thanksgiving, we are here in Your presence, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I was born in a nominal Christian family, and I believe you understand what it means. Nominal Christian family, we call it like this, nominal. My dad was in Salvation Army. And my mom comes from Irish Presbyterian Church. And then they gave the name of what they call it, Church of Northern India, CNI, as you have CSI. So I was there. I grew up in that church where 800-900 people were there. My dad used to be the secretary of the pastorate committee, and great influence. But after the meeting will finish, the church will finish, he will go out with some of his pastorate committee friends, and they will smoke. I never heard any time, any message or a word about salvation in that church. And I'm talking about that Anand Church, big congregation. And then I was raised in a Hindu society. My dad was a leader on national level, AI Fukto, which is a national organization of professors association. He was a treasurer there, and in local university, Sardar Patel University, he was president of that professors association. And so from childhood, I was mingled with all the Hindus and have done all the things with them, what they were doing, going and cutting the woods and for the bonfire and all these things. I don't know if you are familiar about it. But, and then I graduated and I become a professor, like my dad was a professor, and started teaching in different colleges. And then we got engaged. I'm just cutting short some of the parts. Most important thing the Lord has placed in my heart is to share with you is to know that our Lord is a sovereign God. Yes, there are many, many principles, guidelines are there in the scriptures, but Lord is above all this. In some cases, especially. Suppose my wife is coming from Brother Baksing's assembly. She grew up in Brother Baksing's assembly. Her uncle and her aunt, and they were full-time God servant. They have gone to be with the Lord. And in dear Brother Baksing's ministry, everywhere, this one thing was of, and is of rather, great, great importance. We put great emphasis on this one thing, which is standing on a separation ground, especially in two areas, marriage and business. The fellowships everywhere, Brother Baksing's teaching, wherever it is, they cling to this one thing, and the Bible says, do not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not unequally yoke with unbelievers. Two areas. First and foremost, marriage. And the second, business. And we know the consequences if we violate or compromise in these areas. And so here I am not born again. My mom's brother and my wife's family in one town living next door. And then my wife lost her dad while she was only 14 years. And very godly family. And so they moved from where my uncle used to live in that town to their hometown. And once they were visiting Gujarat state, our state, and my uncle ended up telling about me. And they came to our town. And then as soon as I saw her, I want to just bring some humor also. I don't want to make you tight. And so as soon as I saw her coming out from the car, and actually the driver parked, went further away from our house. We were living in a society. And there when I saw her coming out, absolutely from that very moment, my heart was taken away. You know, and they said, okay, we can go further in this please come to our hometown. So me, my parents and my uncle, we went to their town, and straight away they took us to Uncle Noel's house. Noel Justin, who was a full-time God servant and my mentor, I must tell now. And so as soon as I stepped in to the door, Auntie was sitting, Auntie Olga. Both of them have gone to be with the Lord. And she, with her deep and strong voice, started asking me, are you born again? Uncle was not there. He was helping Brother Lazar San in the Holy Convocation in Ahmedabad preparation. And so I was a little puzzled. I said, what kind of welcome is this? You know, and I was professor. My life was like very proud and arrogant and short-tempered, and name and fame was my life. My name used to come every week in the newspaper, and that kind of work I was doing as a young professor. I was every time in each and every college used to be the youngest professor every time. And so when she asked, are you born again? I started thinking in my mind as an intellectual person. I thought, I'm going to church. I'm the first person, by the way, to enter into the church building from 3 kilometers on my bike even though there were people living two steps away. So that kind of zealous and religious person I was, and says, I am attending Passion Week meetings, I am giving my tithes, and all these things, praying, fasting sometimes. And I thought, this must be called being born again. And in my ignorance, I never lied though, I must clarify, I end up telling Auntie Olga, yes. And they took my word and gave their daughter's hand in my hand. And that's it. Then we got married. And there started the tug of war. You know this. I was pulling with a strong right hand towards the world. And my wife was pulling towards the Lord and the testimony and all those things. And my in-laws and the fellowship suffered because of me those days. But they were all praying. My wife's family is spread all over the world, different cities. Yeah, here in Melbourne also, her cousins and nephews, and they are there. And so people were praying in other ministries, our fellowships also. And one incident happened that changed everything, or that was the beginning of transformation taking place in my life. As I was the chairman of finance committee and gym committee and these and that committees, having three faculties in the college, Arts, Science and Commerce, huge college, hundreds of students, and I used to be the chairman of all this committee. I had to directly deal with all the students. I was demanding great discipline from my students everywhere, wherever I worked. And I win their trust also, students. And so one day I was instructing this college students about one folk dance and a skit. Many girls, many boys, students. And in the midst of that, I saw one student, taller and stronger than me, teasing one girl. And that was the last thing I can tolerate. And I slapped that boy, that student. And from that moment, I had doubt about what will happen next. My mind started thinking, okay, tomorrow when you will go to fill up your motorbike at the petrol pump, here you call it gas station, I don't know, we call it gas station. But then I had great fear. I said, these students will just do a little bit like this. I can fight back. And most probably they cannot come back, come to face me. But suppose this happened, all the good things my in-laws have read in the Bible, in the newspaper so far, it will be reversed. There will be a news, the professor who was loved by the students was beaten by the same students. And that was troubling my heart big time. So when I went back home, my wife says, what is wrong? Your face is down, and what has happened? And for almost until the end of the day, I never mentioned. I was proud and arrogant and like that. But finally, I told that this has happened. And so my wife said only one thing, you cannot change yourself. You need the Lord's help. You cannot get rid of your short temper nature. You need the Lord's help. And from that moment, I had tears in my heart, and I knew that I need the Lord's help because I was religious and pious, and I know the Lord with my mind. I know the Bible with my mind. And so I shed some tears. Lord, please help me. I want to be born again. But that was not the time. And then a big testimony. I went to America to settle down and prepare for my wife's coming, that she may join me. And our first baby was about to be born, 3 months were left. So I went to America. I used to go and come and like that. But this time I wanted to settle down, take a nice job and other things. But the unrest in my heart, as soon as I departed from my wife's place, started and continued increasing. That unrest was even greater when I reached to USA in New York, when my parents will go to their work and my brother and two sisters will go for studies, I will be left alone in the house. And the situation was so bad. I said, Lord, what a fool I am. Why I have come here by myself? I should have waited there in India. Our first daughter, our first child is coming. And I have make a big mistake. And that unrest grew and grew and grew. At one point on 21st of June 1989, as I was on my knees, as if the Lord allowed the godly sorrow. Scripture tells godly sorrow leads us to repentance unto salvation. And that sorrow led me to repent. And so 45 minutes I repented of all my sins. From my fifth grade, what I had done, Lord started reminding me. And with great confession and tears, I started confessing. And finally, I said, Lord, I believe in your sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me, Lord. I trust in your efficacious blood with which you can wash me and cleanse me thoroughly. Even you can take care of my guilty conscience with your precious blood. Please save me. And then I heard the voice, go in peace, my son. I have forgiven all your sins. And then I went back to India. I wanted to come back, go back to India, and Lord granted that. Against all the odds and obstacles, He made it possible. In the month of June, no one can fly to India without pre-booked tickets. But I stayed in a Pakistani travel agency from morning till evening, and that travel agent fixed my ticket. But he says, you have to change three airlines, not one airline and three stops, but three airlines. I said, no matter what, I want to go. And so as I came to Bombay, and I found that one of my bag is missing because of this changing the flights, then the Lord says, send a telegram. I never mentioned that I'm coming to them. And so Lord says, send a telegram coming with salvation. What I'm trying to tell, as I first mentioned about do not unequally yoke with unbelievers, but would like to put something in your heart and your mind that Lord is sovereign. No, sometimes we don't understand what He's doing. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are different than ours. And if I would have told, no, I'm not born again, then we would not have got married. And the Lord's purpose would have been messed up completely. But He allowed those things, mistakes. And even in New York, someone started telling He cheated them and He lied and all these things. But in the midst of all this criticism and other things, the truth remains. The fact is the same, that He desired and decided. Because He desired, because He had planned and purposed, He decided. And we got married. My wife, when she is senior to me in the Lord, at the age of 20, she got saved. And because her family and she was surrounded by God's servants, all the servants used to go to their home and to the fellowship. And so she had one prayer before the Lord. Listen to me carefully. She had this earnest prayer before the Lord. Lord, bring a person in my life who may be your servant. And here I came in her life, a hidden, unsaved person. In these circumstances, Lord worked. And He transformed my life and has raised me up with my wife to be His minister, to be His servant. So, a lot of things in the testimony. But how the Lord comforts us before He allows us to go through some deep waters or fire, fiery trials maybe. What happened every 31st? We call it passion. What we call it on the 31st, brother? Watch night service. Yeah. Sometimes my mind is giving me trouble. My wife is praying for me also. But I meet people everywhere. They forget the names and other things. So I'm safe now. But anyway, on the watch night service, as others used to pick up the... This is the story before my salvation. They pick up the promise. Not as a lottery. I don't know you know this thing. But it is not seriously. Now we pray months and months ahead of time. Lord, you have fulfilled your promise in the past year. Now we are looking forward for the new year. What is there in your heart? What we must do? Please give us some guidance by this promise as we pick it up. And sincerely, earnestly, prayerfully, meaning it seriously, we pick these days. And then after being born again. So I picked up the promise. Now I will take you to the scriptures. This is my good or bad habit, I don't know. I always should start with the scripture according to our gatherings pattern. And it is also good, but this is my testimony, so I have reversed it a little bit. Would you please turn with me to one scripture portion found in Psalm 45. And we'll read verse 7. Psalm 45, verse 7. That year, this was the promise for me. And there we read, Thou lovest righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, even thine God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thine fellows. As I gave you the background, I wanted to be always number one, and I was number one in all these different circles. I was always a leader. And when the Lord gave me this promise, I was overjoyed. I said, I like this promise. if you understand this, my heart was flooded with joy. I said, Lord, you are going to do this kind of work in me? I receive this promise and I will keep on claiming this promise for the entire year. And so, Lord gave me that grace and privilege to be above my fellows in all the areas of my secular life and in the spiritual life. Then again, next year, because we got engaged, and then, so second year, in the same watch night service, Lord gave another promise. Let us turn to this promise. We can turn to Psalm 139 first. Psalm 139, and we'll read verse 9 and 10. 139, verses 9 and 10. This scripture portion tells, If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there shall thine hand lead me, or your hand will keep me, and thy right hand shall hold me. As I showed this promise to my wife, and with great confidence, she ended up telling me, this year, you are going to be born again. This year, Lord is going to save you. That was before I went to U.S. And exactly within few months, half of the year passed. And as I went to USA on 21st of June, 1989, I got saved by His amazing grace. And many a times when I am preaching, I always tell this line in this song, as we sang 280, says, Born of the Spirit, with life from above, into God's family divine. Such a wonderful transaction took place in my life. If any one of you have not experienced this, I think Lord is inviting you or to just go in His presence tonight maybe and confess your sins and make Him your Lord, your Savior, your all, as we sang in the other song. And He will transform your life completely. He will change you inside out. But the godly sorrow, these are the times when Lord is allowing godly sorrow in many, many people's life. Turn with me to that scripture portion, 2 Corinthians. Epistle of, second epistle of Paul to Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 10. Second epistle of Paul to Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 10 reads, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But," this is big but "the sorrow of the world worketh death." Just a few minutes back, my wife was telling one young man and one young girl who were studying for IT. In IT, they committed suicide. Just maybe day before yesterday, because my wife looks at checks the news, and this is happening everywhere. No matter young people or older or middle age, this is happening. The sorrow of the world leadeth to death. No, many farmers in India, they commit suicide because they don't have resources to raise their families or supply the needs of the families, and they have debt, and they kill themselves. So sorrow is there. Lord is using, you know, He worketh everything for our good and His glory. And so godly sorrow, if you are, any one of you, if you are going through this kind of deep agony and rejection and trials and tribulations and everything is and everybody is against you, if you feel like that, family problems and friendship problems and workplace problems, all these things, He allows. Lord never does anything haphazardly. Brother has asked me a testimony and the word, so we are just going in this direction. And so He allows those things. And our Lord is a Lord and God of plan and purpose. He never allows anything haphazardly. He never does, rather, anything in our lives haphazardly. With a great eternal plan and purpose, He allows everything in our life. And by the way, I must insert that Lord has chosen us. He's sovereign. And if you know that scripture which tells that Jacob have I loved and Esau I have hated. Turn with me to Romans. I think this kind of some scriptures may help us in drawing closer to the Lord and knowing our Lord with greater intimacy. Romans chapter 9 verse 13. Epistle of Paul to Romans chapter 9, and we'll read verse 13. Yes. And this is amazing. People, our mind may not understand what is this in the Bible, but this is the fact. You know, He has chosen. Because He chose me for my wife, He allowed certain things. And our Lord is not a hard taskmaster, as we were talking with dear brother. Oh, He's a gentleman, one Pakistani Muslim convert brother used to tell in his testimony, Ghulam Farid. He has gone to be with the Lord. He says, our God is a gentleman God in his style. And so He will not burst into your heart and like that, he was telling. But our Lord has planned out everything for each and every one of us. He has numbered our hair. Such a Lord in minute detail has undertaken everything for our life, for our well-being in this life. And we are talking about that Lord. So with a great purpose, eternal purpose, and His plan, He will allow certain things in our life. And when His sovereign purpose is fulfilled, He will overrule it. He will not let us just remain there and be tormented by the Satan, the world, and ourselves. We as a believers, and if you are not a believer yet, we are facing these three enemies. And we know Satan is our arch enemy. The world is against us. That's why scripture tells friendship with the world is enmity with the Lord. But the third, very many believers don't understand or recognize, that is, ourself is our enemy. Big time enemy. To make you understand, I don't know how much time I may have, but Charles Spurgeon, how many of you have heard the name Charles Spurgeon? Very good. Praise the Lord. And so he used to have a Bible class. Those who wanted to go and preach and like that, they will for 1 year join this class, and he will train them, teach them. Some other elders will help in this. And in the end of the year, they have graduation as we have here in our lives. They have to stand up and say something, what they have learned and like that in the practical way or any other way. So one young man stood up and he put on the whole armor of God, and took the shield of faith, and then says, "I have the sword ready. Where is the enemy?" And Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, was sitting just there, and it was quiet. "Where is the enemy?" And he was shaking himself with this armor, whole armor of God. Charles Spurgeon said, "Inside." That is the enemy. Ourself is very cunning and crafty enemy. Sometimes he works in a disguise. He comes in a disguise, and these three teams up most of the time. They will not come just by themselves, Satan, world, and self. They will team up together against the Lord, to mess up the plans and the purposes Lord may have for our life, that we may not enter into the fullness of the Lord. So this godly sorrow works the same way. He allows, we should not, I may share all these things and there may be some repetition as the Lord may lead me. I usually don't keep much notes, He allows this kind of thing. In the crucible of affliction, I have tried you. And fire will try us. Fiery trials will come in our lives. Most of the believers have experience. Christian life is not an easy life. It's a big challenge to follow the Lord. It says, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. And that's why brother was telling, we never turn back. As they moved from New Zealand to Australia, it says, no turning back. So we have that song, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. So even though, if you are born in a Christian family, not nominal, I'm telling, genuine Christian family, your parents are born again, knows the Lord, sometimes serving the Lord, and yet as children, as a part of their family, when you face this kind of problems, just remember what Lord is speaking to you right now, that the godly sorrow which the Lord is allowing in our life must lead us to repentance. We must come back in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that will help us to be saved. That we may just go at the foot of the cross and just ask the Lord to change our life. So this was my life. This is my life story. After my salvation, we had 2 years I was thinking it will take 6 months, but it took 2 years. And as I mentioned, Uncle Noel, I was telling dear brother Arun Bhai that he was a very zealous person in preaching the gospel. He will stand in front of the mosque and preach in the megaphone, give the gospel to Muslims. He will penetrate in the Hindu temples and give gospel to the pujaris. And I had that privilege to go with him every Saturday in the marketplace and raise the Bible and give the gospel, telling people, this is the book which has all the answer of your questions. And like that, and we will, with some token money, we'll sell 100 New Testaments and so many packets of 4 Gospels and give tracts and like that. And that has helped us. So after, in a few minutes, I will just wind up. After being saved, that news spread throughout Gujarat and other parts of India, abroad and everywhere. So one of the brother in Beersheba, Ahmedabad, elder rather, Robert Joneja, that uncle was the secretary of Gujarat Tracts and Book Society. And when he heard, he loved us so much. He was like a father figure, Lazasan the same way. When he heard, he was overjoyed. And somehow I end up asking him, Uncle, can you send me some tracts? And Uncle was just, I don't know what happened to him. He ended up sending 25,000 Jeevan Jyot Jale. That was the title of that tract, 2-3-fold tract. 25,000. And then 2,500, the full scape, like 8.5 by 11, full color booklet, Srishti Sarjan, about the creation, he sent. And then many hundreds of those 4 gospel packets. All these things. When it came, we had no room in the house to put it. We put it under the bed, over the almari and everywhere. And Lord told me, as you are commuting, I told brother the whole testimony, a little bit testimony. I was commuting, and while I was going to my workplace in my college, I resigned, by the way, from my positions in the college, and students were very unhappy. They will not come to my class. No, sir, you tell us what happened when you went to America. You should not resign for it. Now, who will take care of all these activities? And nobody's take a lead. And so they said, we'll sit down in the open grass. Hundreds of them will sit down, not go in the classes. And other professors' classes also, they won't. And then I will stand and explain what happened to me. I will tell my testimony and also give the gospel. And this kind of lot of, in the running bus, I had many, many ample opportunities to give the gospel to the people. But I was reading Brother Baksing's books during my commute for many, many months, means 2 years rather. And through that, Lord started asking, demanding obedience. And I have done some crazy things in obedience. What Brother Baksing would have told to somebody in Delhi, as I read in that, I tried to implement and I did it, which is crazy now. It can be crazy in the sight of regular people. But this is how Lord used those testimonies of Brother Baksing through his books. And it has left a lasting impression in my life. Next thing, I will take this tracts, 25,000. I said, how I can use this? So Lord gave me grace and wisdom, says, as you see, when I come back from my work at the ST bus stop or state transportation station, as I see a bus coming from one town, I will run there and give tracts. 65 to 70 people will come out, and quickly, I will give the tracts. And then I see, oh, another bus is coming from there. And I will run there and the same way. So every day, 400-500 tracts I will distribute and like that. And that is how Lord trained us. And then when the time came to go to America, for 5 years we were in New York, and all five boroughs of New York, we preached the gospel 4 days a week. Only 3 days a week I had my own business, and I just sincerely worked for my work business for only 3 days. But 4 days we will go out on the streets with the ampli speaker and preach the gospel and then give out tracts. And we used to have the Walkman, and we'll put the CD, and Lord chose certain songs which were sung many years before my birth, maybe in England. And somehow those tapes came to me, and those were powerful songs we were playing in that ampli speaker with what they call a blasting voice. We'll stand again as opposite to the casinos in New York. And we had one song which goes like this. How it goes? Another song we used to play, which was like a prophetic song, which tells, what a sad, sad story, the successful man whose wealth and glory are lost in the end. When they heard the sound, they look around and they see their towers coming to the ground. It's a powerful song. And 5 years, full blast, we were playing in all different parts of New York. It was like a Lord's warning to New Yorkers. And after we moved to Houston, 9/11 happened, if you are familiar to this. And a great tragedy happened. But Lord used us in a strategic way with this message of warning. In front of the casino, we used to put this song, play the song. It's Lady Luck is rich, but she is cruel as a witch. Sometimes she let me win, but then she takes again, something like that. And no fear, nothing. And we did that for 5 years. Manifold fruits we saw in gospel preaching. Opposition came. I was once standing in the very cold morning in front of Empire State Building, having hood, Indian, and most of the people white. And I will try to give them, one hand is already frozen because, and one page tract, I have still kept that tract, which it's not easy to even separate it. Because here, with the glove, I will hold this tract, and with this frozen hand, I will try to separate tract and give. But those passing people, as I will try to give it to them, they and walk away. And Manhattan, mainly, in Manhattan, it is like that. They don't like anyone to preach the gospel or like that. Who is this foreigner? But then I heard that day, as I had tears in my eyes, Lord, I never wanted to come to America. You have asked us to come here. I denied initially. I don't want to go to America. But then Lord spoke to me, you are my ambassador. I have sent you this country. And then after, there was no questioning from my side. But are you familiar with the Halloween? Halloween? It's like Kali Chaudas we have in India. So that's a big day of Satan and his followers. And so once I was preaching the gospel in the evening in front of Rite Aid Pharmacy. You may not have here, but Rite Aid Pharmacy. And next to that is a subway station, underground. And so I was preaching with passionately. That was a big day. So I wanted to warn and mention about Satan and his works and his craftiness and cunningness and all this. And after some time, I heard a deep voice from behind me. Do you know someone is going to stab in your back tonight? And I was alarmed. And I turned back. A witch, looking like a witch, a lady, old lady with a staff, having that costume, standing, and she was telling me. And I recognized that this is the enemy wanted to frighten me, that I must give up this work today or stop preaching the gospel and pack up and go home. But the Lord says, no, be strong and courageous. And so I turned and said, get it behind me, Satan. And then I continued giving tracks. Maybe 5-6 seconds I gave a few tracks. And with curiosity, I wanted to see her back. She vanished. In that few fraction of a few seconds, she cannot run away into the subway, or she cannot even go in the right. She was not there. So many ways enemy will come against us when we will try to preach the gospel. Most probably tomorrow in the other gathering, I may share about the importance of gospel preaching. And we have maybe 3-4 dozen testimonies in this many years. Powerful testimonies. How the saving grace of the Lord is so powerful to transform people's life. How people came to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. And how the enemy, the devil, stood against us to frighten us. Long testimonies. And so we have continued that. Even we could preach the gospel in Sydney, in front of Muscat railway station. I said, I am from America. Good news for Sydney. And that's how I started. And but that is our call, to preach the gospel and lift the Lord up. It says, if I will be lifted up, I will draw many to me. So this is our vocation. And our children are married, and we have 4 grandchildren from our daughter's side, so we have all freedom. My wife gave up her work in 2007 and came out for full time. For years, I was a tent maker. As I mentioned, 95% focus on the ministry, 5% on the secular things. But since 2014, I gave up that also, and we are moving among the believers' circles, groups, and encouraging them and building up the body of Christ. And we are rewarded as we go in different countries and different mingle with different believers. We each and every time we see a different beautiful facet of Christ's body everywhere. Because this is very important to know that Lord's body is spread throughout this world, you know, and we are not just the only one. Once Lord revealed to my wife that we may tell others, Lord has given so many revelations to my wife. She has 4 diaries full of all these encounters with the Lord. And that was the one, is coming in my mind, says, tell my people, those who are proud, arrogant, or leaders, or dictators, or whatever, or generally all of us, we are proud and arrogant, you know, self-sufficient. And like, I am something, somebody like that. I is always capital. Lord says, tell my people, you are not the only one. You are one of them. So wherever we go, even sometimes in worship, I says, as I see, we were in Hebron last year, and I see these 2,000 people in presence. And I was humbled, and Lord reminded me the same scripture, what the Lord revealed. And I said, Lord, who am I? I am not the only one. I am one of them. And somehow that helped me and opened up the Hebron pulpit. This is what I believe. I have not mentioned to anybody, but this is what I believe. That has touched the hearts of maybe the leaders. Because we just went for worship. Not to have any platform or anything. Absolutely nothing. But maybe this. Because this is lacking everywhere. People says, I am the one. I am the leader. Without asking me, you cannot go there. You cannot do this. We have to understand at one point of our Christian life that I am not the only one. I am one of them. And then Lord will receive much glory, honor, and praise. If I have taken much time, sorry. But please keep us in your prayer. And I'm touched deeply with this kind of personalities. Amazing. They can take the leadership and take the baton from all the others who are working in the Lord's vineyard and keep on running with that and raising such wonderful fellowships. It is absolutely humbling and filling my heart, my wife's heart, with thanksgiving and gratitude. The Lord is working in His own mighty way. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Amen.